So great, great passage tonight. Again, showing the attitude of Israel toward the Lord during this time of disobedience when God had to send Jeremiah to give them these final words of warning prior to them being taken captive. And here in chapter 18, where we finished last week, starting in verse 11, the Bible says, "Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity." So the title tonight is, There Is No Hope. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word to teach us and work miracles in our hearts this evening. We thank you for the privilege and for the power of your word. We just want to glorify Jesus tonight, so may we open our hearts and hear from the Holy Spirit. We give you complete control of this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Israel, as you said, in their response to God's warning, he sent Jeremiah directly to say, please, I plan to punish you. I plan to chastise you, but please return. Come back. Repent. Make your, as he says at the end of verse 11, make your ways and your doings good. This is God pleading with his chosen children. Please make your ways and your doings good. Come back to me. And look at their response in verse 12. They said, there is no hope. There is no hope. Essentially, modern day would be, what's the point? There's no hope. And yet, as we saw, if you go to chapter 17, as we saw last week, down in verse 7, the Bible says, Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There is hope with God. Look at chapter 17, 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel. We just looked at that last week. God is the God of hope, and there is hope for those who will trust in Him. And yet, those who have turned their backs on God, or even the lost, they have this basic attitude that there is no hope. And if you go to Ephesians 2, according to Scripture, if you're not born again, there is no hope. It's true. That's a true statement. For those who have not been saved, there is no hope. The only destination, as we've learned in Scripture, is to go to hell. There's definitely no hope in that. But notice Ephesians 2:12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So he says, before you came to Christ, before you were grafted into that tree, this is a Jewish book, Jesus was a Jew, before you trusted Jesus Christ, you had no hope. So it's true. But for a Christian, it is not true. For a Christian, there is hope. But there is this attitude sometimes with Christians when they get down with trials or they get pulled into sin by the devil or by the flesh, and they begin to think, what's the point? There's just no hope. I can't win. No matter what I do, it seems like I can't get ahead, and there is no hope. And this is not what God wants for us to have this attitude. And Israel, he definitely didn't want them to have this attitude. But the Christian's hope is God himself. Let's look at some scriptures quickly and see this tonight. So let's start in Psalm 130 and just look at some scriptures that remind us tonight that we have hope. We have the most amazing hope, and that hope is found in the Lord. So go to Psalm 130, verse 5. And just reminded about this great truth tonight. The Bible says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. So God says there is hope to be found in the Word of God. And we're even told in Romans 15, whatsoever things are written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and coming to the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15, 4. There's hope found in the Word of God. Now if you go to 1 Timothy 1, not only is there hope in the Word of God, but we'll see that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're born again, you acknowledge that to be the case, that there's hope in Christ, there's hope in His Word. Notice 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Why do we believe we're going to heaven? Because of Jesus. Why do we believe our sins are forgiven? Because of Jesus. Why do we believe we're going to have a mansion? Because of Jesus. He is our hope. He's everything. He's the one that died. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that offers us eternal life. He's the one that made everything. So He is our hope. And so we have the hope of Christ. We have the hope of His Word. And then to go to Titus 2, verse 13. I'll just do these in scripture order. So Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the return of Jesus. So we not only have the hope of His salvation, but we have the hope of His return. If you believed in Christ enough to believe He could rescue from hell, then you believe that the Word is true when it says Christ is coming back. And that's our hope, that Jesus is coming back. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What did he mean by that there in 1 Corinthians 15? What he meant was, if there isn't an eternity, if our souls don't live forever, as the Bible teaches they do, then we're essentially wasting our time. That's the truth. It says if in this life, this earthly life, we only have hope, we're of all men most miserable. Because in this life, Christians are supposed to be living for that life, not this life. And he says, if this is all there is, then we're of all men most miserable. In other words, if the world is right and we're just animals and we just rot and die and that's it and cease to exist, then we've wasted our time. But if the Bible's right, then it's the world that's wasting their time if they're going to end up in hell forever and ever, and we're going to end up with Jesus forever and ever. So Christ is our hope. His return is part of our hope. The Bible says the hope of eternal life in Titus chapter 3. And then if you go to 1 Peter 1, verse 3, the Bible tells us that we have a hope for a new body and a forever life in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look on down in verse 5. It says, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and the fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So God teaches that we have the hope of His Word. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of heaven. And we have the hope of a resurrection, of a new body. Hallelujah. We have hope. But Israel said in answer to Jeremiah's prophecy, there is no hope. And the world says the same thing. There's no hope. Well, if your attitude is that there's no hope, look what happens back in our passage, Jeremiah 18, verse 12. If a person believes there's no hope, saved or unsaved, this is what happens. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. In other words, if there's no hope, then I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm just going to make the best of this life and do what I want to do. And if the world's right, that's what we should be doing. But our Creator says otherwise. Let's go to Isaiah in chapter 22. Isaiah 22. Israel, again, in stating that there's no hope, look what the conclusion is. Verse 13, Behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. If there's no hope, make the best of right now. And that's how the world lives, isn't it? Because they believe there's no hope. But unfortunately, when a Christian gets to that point, they do the same thing. They begin to live for now. If you go to Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ gave us a warning here about having this wrong attitude about hope. Luke chapter 12, we all know this story of the rich man. Verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So if there's no hope, which Israel says there is no hope to Jeremiah, then just do your own thing. And that's what the world does. They just do their own thing. And yet the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When man chooses to do his own thing, he does the wrong thing. And that's always the case. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. In Proverbs 28:26, we can't trust in our own way. We can't just do whatever we want to do. It's going to be the wrong thing. Because there is hope. But if you go to Romans 1, the Bible teaches this is what happens when man has this wrong attitude about our destiny, about our Creator, about why we're here, that He made us, that He cares about us, that He loves us so much, He died for us. And yet, if there's no hope, notice Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This says that every person is without excuse. That we can't stand before God and say, I didn't know there was a Creator. God says, yes, you did. He gave us a conscience. He gave us a basic understanding that there is a God. But look at verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. As long as man wants to push God out of the picture and say there is no God, even though creation tells me, even though my conscience tells me that there's a God, I don't want to be accountable to Him, so I'm going to say there isn't one. And as long as man has that attitude, this is where it leads him. Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's where we see what we see in the world today. And this is what happened to Israel. There's no hope, so we're going to do our own thing. We're going to walk after our own devices. We're going to do the imagination of our hearts. And this is how God described man just before the flood. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So if there's no hope, or if our attitude is there's no hope, the first thing we're going to do is our own thing. Go to chapter 18 now, verse 15. The second thing that's going to happen is if a Christian gets this attitude, or one of God's children, in this case Israel, verse 15, because my people have forgotten me. If the devil tricks God's people into losing hope, and we've all met Christians that have lost hope, They begin to forget God. They begin to care about what God thinks. They begin to not care about God's Word. And they begin to forget God. Go to 2 Peter 1, and the Bible teaches that this can happen to a Christian. That they can begin to believe there's no hope. They'll begin to do their own thing. And they will forget God. Notice 2 Peter 1. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So we know it's talking about a Christian because it says he was purged from his sins, but he'd forgotten. Jesus rebuked the church in Revelation. He said, because thou hast left thy first love. So our foundation is our hope in Christ. Eternal life, heaven, His presence in our lives, our new body that we're going to get, the Word of God, it's all based on Christ, that hope. But if we are tricked by the devil into losing our hope, we begin to do our own thing, and what happens? We forget God. Go back to our passage. The final thing that happens for God's children is if they are led down this path of believing there's no hope, they go down this path of doing their own thing, which is always going to be contrary to the Word of God. And they go down this path of forgetting God. Look what happens. Verse 17, I will scatter them. So yes, he's talking about Israel. God's going to scatter them, and they've been scattered for 2,500 years now. Why? For their disobedience. But what about a Christian? Same thing. He's going to send them into the desert, just like he sent Israel into the desert. Their Christian life's going to be dry, and they're going to have to get to that point where they realize where they've come from and repent and come back to God. That's called chastisement. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and we'll see that. That is the end result. Is when the devil tricks a Christian into saying there's no hope, they're going to go down this path of doing their own thing. They're going to go down this path of forgetting God. And then God's going to have to bring them back. And he's going to do that through trials, the Holy Spirit, the Word, others, whatever means he sees fit. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We're all at one point in our Christian lives going to go through some chastisement. It's just how we choose to respond to it. Notice verse 11, for the no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. You know, when we use the rod of understanding, the rod of correction on the seat of understanding on our children, they didn't enjoy it. Thanks, Dad, for that. I really enjoyed that. Then why did we do it? Because it was good for them. As it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We learn that there's consequences for doing wrong and blessings for doing right, a basic principle of Scripture. We learn that from our parents. God's our parent. If we're a Christian, he's our Heavenly Father. So he's going to bring us back. One way or another, he's going to draw us back to him. And if we just keep running, 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 and refusing to listen, then he might just have to say, this one's just not going to listen, and just take us home. And that happens too. Deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. But look where it all starts, though. It all starts with hope. We have so much hope in Christ and in his word. As we saw in his return, in his eternal life, in the home in heaven that's waiting for us, his promises that he's made to us, there's so much hope. But the devil hates that. And so he is going to attack us and try to make us get to this point where because of trials or frustration or depression or whatever, we throw up our hands and say there's no hope. And that just leads us down this path of, if there's no hope, I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't really care what God wants me to do. And I'm just going to walk away and forget God. And that isn't the way we want to go, because next comes the chastisement. So there is hope. Hallelujah. We wouldn't be here tonight if there wasn't. But you know what? The world needs to know there's hope. There's hope in Christ. Our Creator, who loved us enough to become a man, die for our sins, rise again from the dead, offers us eternal life through his sacrifice. There's hope. So much hope. We got to tell him. And we got to live it. Amen? Jesus said, live for then. Don't live for now, because the Bible says you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So unfortunately, Israel got to this point, and we'll see the chastisement come, where they said there is no hope. Don't ever let the devil trick you into believing that, because it's not true. Let's pray.